Amen. Good singing this evening. Remain standing. Take your Bibles now and go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans. Romans chapter number 1. This evening we'll be reading a lengthy passage of Scripture. We'll be reading verses 18 through verse number 32. I'll begin on verse number 18 and then you'll join me on verse 19. We'll alternate like that all the way through verse number 32. Romans chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 18, the Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who will hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which had been known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their woman did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense and error which was meant. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful." And let's read verse number 32 together. "Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You and we thank You for the Word of God in our lives and the influence it has. Lord, this evening's message obviously has a special place, Lord, in the Word of God and has an important meaning to each and every individual. It would be very easy in a message like this evening to possibly constantly be looking at the world and even other people that we know in our lives. But Lord, everything in the Word of God is for me as an individual. And as I hear the Word of God being preached tonight, may my mind not think about the badness of everybody else around me, but may I search for something in my own life, Lord, that You would like to either change or to have me do differently. And we'll yield ourselves to You. As we hear the Word of God being preached tonight, please fill our pastor with Your Holy Spirit's power. We ask that You would do something special this evening in our lives. We'll ask all these things in Your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want to start by saying this. It's going to be a little bit of a loud, rough sermon, so hang on. You're going to say, come on, tell oh me. I'm not angry. I'm in a good mood, just so you know. But every once in a while, you got to pull the bomb out of the closet and let everybody know you got it. Amen. But our world is changing before us so quickly. 41 years I've been preaching now, and Never did I ever think I would be preaching on topics I have to preach on today. Never did I dream in America we would be facing what we face in America today, and that's where I begin tonight. Our world has changed. It's not only increased by population, but modern technology, and with it brings a smaller and smaller world. Modern transportation, cell phones, FaceTime, TV news, satellites, etc., etc. The world is in our pockets on our cell phone. You have more power computer-wise in that right there than IBM had 30 years ago in their mainline computers sitting in big, huge buildings. By the way, they can tell you wherever you've been, what you've done, what you bought, and the conversations you've had. The world is sitting in your pocket. The younger generation doesn't even know what a long-distance call is. Shoot, you don't even know what a phone booth is. I remember, you younger people really don't know what a penny loafer was for. The reason you had a penny loafer is so you could put a dime in your shoe so that you had room, had place for to make a phone call. I understand that. I'm thankful for much, and honestly, most of the modern conveniences of today. I'm thankful I don't have to go to the bathroom in an outhouse. I like indoor plumbing, amen? God knows it's better than one of those little blue huts that we had out here for a while, especially this time of year. I like my car. I like my truck. I like not having to ride a horse and wagon everywhere I go, especially after the mileage I put on. I love air travel. I wish I didn't have to wear a mask, but I don't even mind computers for office work and business, even though I don't have one. And I think that they're very helpful. And I'm especially thankful for inside heat and air conditioning. Amen. You say, well, there was a day. Okay, I'm glad you lived in that day, and I'm glad I live in this day. These things, in and of themselves, there's nothing bad or wrong with them. Here is where the world has changed that causes me concern. Brother Josh, I think there's something on in there. Can we turn that off? It's got my attention and it's bothering me. I'm not angry, but shut that stupid thing off. Here, though, and look at me. You've seen somebody move before. I'm better looking than he is, all right? Trust me. He doesn't have any hope in about 25 years when he's my age, but here's where the alarm comes, and please listen to me. The virtual world in which we live today. Now it's raining. Hope your car windows are shut. The computer games, the videos, Facebook, social media, and Hollywood of today have created a new world for us. Please listen. People shoot and kill people by the hour playing games. And they hide in an identity they make up for themselves. They go alone. They play. They talk. They post things and say things. And do this with people from all over the world. And hide behind a screen somewhere, showing themselves to be something that they are not in reality. I'm not saying this is necessarily sinful, but I want to show you what God has to say about it. We're living in the end days before Jesus comes back at the rapture. Oh, I remember in the 70s, Jack Van Impe, the Lord's going to come back now. Okay, that was 50 years ago. I remember hearing the preaching, but I know this, we're 50 years closer than we were then. I believe we're living in unprecedented days and times. And I want us to look at it from God's view, not from, and let me put it this way, in view of reality, not virtuality. Here's the problem. People live in this virtual world so much that now we have Christians who are becoming virtual Christians. Amen. Let me explain. People are so used to being something on a screen and portraying themselves as they want to be seen that when it comes to being at church, they put on and put on something that they want everybody else to see that they really are not on the inside. And we now have virtual Christianity. Can I say something? That's not good. That's not healthy. I'm not saying that if you play a video game that you're on your way to the boogeyman. But we've got adults in our world, and I promise you, we have adults that sit in this auditorium who spend hours a week doing nothing but playing virtual games. Some spend hours a day at it. If you have time to do that, you wonder why your family's falling apart? You wonder why there's conflict? You live in an unreal world. You live with unreal situations. Now listen to this. We then wonder why real humans don't see us as the superhuman we want to create on a screen. You get used to being something super powerful, super wonderful, and in this virtual world you dominate, and then you wonder why people who are sinful that you're supposed to have real relationships with don't understand you. And the fact is, you're living in an unreal world in your mind, but you want to live that in the real world. God links the vulgar, violent, perverted society of today to the virtual world, and its appetites are created by the virtual world. It is an unnatural affection. I want you to know something. We read in Romans chapter 1, verse number 31, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. Now listen to me very carefully here. Romans chapter 1 isn't just about the sodomites and the LGBTQ alphabet soup people. There is a whole lot more to Romans chapter 1 than that lifestyle. God dedicates 3 or 4 verses to that, and the rest of the verses that we read were about everything else that our people are living in today in this virtual world. But I will say this, the virtual world is a gateway to those other perversions. You say, how do you know this, preacher? I'll not ask you this, but I know in the last 2 weeks, I've talked to 6 people, 5 of which were pastors who are counseling people in their church who are men who have online screen games that they play, and in those games, they're a woman. Do you see a problem here? Now, real world, sinful humans with real emotions and faults cannot compete with virtual world superhuman creatures that you create in your virtual world. And you wonder why there's problems between you and your children, or children and their parents. Let's check how much time they've played in the virtual world. You wonder why we have problems between husbands and wives. Let's check out how much time we've spent on Facebook in the virtual world. I'm not necessarily against Facebook, but if you put your face in the book more than you were on Facebook, you'd be better off. Amen. We now have a world without natural affection. People don't know how to show or receive affection from real people. Hollywood, or as I like calling it, Hollyweird, the news, TV, internet, social media, gaming, etc., makes up this virtual world. And has now made a world that has little to do with natural affection. Josh and Ruth Ann went through fostering and adoption classes. You know, they're saying that a child as early as 6 months old or older is now being sexual. That's filthy, vile garbage out of the pit of hell. A child that is nursing its mother is becoming sexual. Folks, that's about the bottom of God's scum bucket, and I think it's underneath it. That's wicked. Say, preacher, tell us how you really feel. I'll try in a minute. May I just say this, because so many Christians have their minds filled and their eyes filled with these virtual things, it's now affecting Christians' natural affection. Lamentations 3:51 is still in the Bible. Mine eye affecteth mine heart. God said your eye affects your heart, your feelings. We have entertained, played, intellectualized, and overstimulated ourselves out of natural affection. Tonight, I want to talk to you about this. Where is your natural affection? Number one, what is natural affection? Natural affection is a type of love in the scriptures. We use the word love in the English language. It means many different things. I love my wife. I love to eat, but I don't love to eat like I love my wife. I might love a certain type of food, but I don't love it like I love my children. I love my children, but I don't love them like I love their mother. I love you, but I don't love you like I love my children or my wife. So we use that word love, and it covers a lot of things, but in the Bible, there's different words. There's phileo. That's a brotherly love. That's where we get the city Philadelphia, phileo, which means brotherly. That is a brotherly type love. There's also the word agape. Agape is God's love, an unconditional love for man, and it's the love between a husband and a wife. It's to be unconditional. But there's also the word natural affection, and it is a type of love even in and of itself. It is the love for your country or your community. It's a dutiful type love. I love America. I bleed red, white, and blue. I think when the national anthem's played, you stand, you don't sit on your blessed assurance. You kneel at the cross, you stand for the flag. And if you kneel for the flag, I'm going to jerk you up. I'll slap you in the head if I got to. You say, preacher, I think you got a bad spirit. I've worked 54 years to get it. Look out. I have no problem with it. Don't like it? Leave it. I got a son giving his life for this country. There's men in this room and ladies in this room that have given their life for this country. And there are people that have died and gone to hell so we could have the freedom to do it. How about we love our country? That's called natural affection. I said this 20, 30 years ago. I get sick and tired of, don't get mad at me, this is not racial, African-American, Polack-American, Italian-American, Mexican-American. How about we just all be Americans? Amen. Let's get rid of the adjective before it, and let's just be Americans. Amen. That's nothing. By the way, that's one of the things that has broke down our society. So, what is natural affection? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:3, let me read it to you. 2 Timothy 3:3 says this, without, and it says, know this, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's called selfishness. Covetous, wanting what other people have without paying for it. Let the government give it to them. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, etc., etc. Hey, God said in the last days, these perilous times shall come, and the world will become more and more without natural affection. I could have solved the thing at the Olympics with that chick that kneeled at the national anthem, jerk her out of there in a heartbeat and say, you're done. Amen. And don't put her on the news.
That's right.
She had a sudden illness. It's called cowardice. Right. Yellow spine. That's right. That's God says that one of the signs of the end days is that people will be without natural affection. Now hang on. Abortion is without natural affection. Murdering a baby is not natural. I don't care if you do it in the womb. I don't care if you do it after the child's birthed. Stupid governor of Virginia is pushing legislation in Virginia right now to have what they call post-birth abortions. If you don't like your child's birth, you don't like what it looks like or like its gender, he's pushing legislation to go ahead and abort it after it's been born. That's called murder. By the way, it's murder when it's in the womb too. That's called without natural affection. Parents that abuse or even kill their children, that is not natural affection. I hate to even say this, but children who kill their parents is not natural affection. Children who can go to court and divorce from their parents is not natural affection. Children who go to school with guns and shoot up their schoolmates and their teachers is not natural affection. Folks, let me say something right here. I love my guns. I've got my CCW. I've got plenty of weaponry. I am for the ability and the right to carry arms. The Second Amendment had nothing to do with the military or hunting. Had everything to do with an oppressive government to protect yourself from a government. Go back and study it. Well, that gun's, you don't need that for hunting. Nowhere in the Second Amendment is hunting mentioned.
Amen.
Hate to disappoint you. But I will say this, guns never killed anybody. People kill people.
That's right.
I've got a dozen and a half guns sitting in my house. Can I tell you something? Not a one of them's ever shot a person. You know, I've got guns that sit there loaded and they have never gone off all by themselves. Never one time. And I have fired countless rounds of ammunition. Doubt me? Go to my office and look at the three deer heads and the turkey tail and two 12-inch beards in there. I've killed lots of things, but never a human being. I remember the first time he shot his first deer and when his brother shot their first deer. Josh was, I think, 10 or 11. And I know Jeff was 10. They stood over the body of a deer that was bigger than they were. They had taken a life, and I remember distinctly saying, "Son, you can never give that life back to that deer. Listen to me carefully. Why do you not point a gun at a person then? Because if you point a gun and somebody's between you and what you're shooting, that person's going to be as dead as that deer is. You never point a gun at a person." Boy, do you talk about bringing reality into a child's life? I'm gun conscious. I'm safety conscious. My dad, he drilled it into me. One day he said, "I'm going to take one of the boys out groundhog hunting. Is that okay?" I said, "That's fine." They got out of the truck, got the guns, loaded things up, got to the first gate. One of my boys said, "Grandpa, you got your gun on safety?" Yeah. He said, "You didn't check it." He said, "These cotton picking kids are trained better than I was." I said, "Good." My son went to the Air Force. Qualified on his M4. Qualified marksman. 300 yards, open sights. 300 yards, red dot. Then they had to put a gas mask on and shoot, and they're supposed to use their red dot. Two shots in, his red dot went out. Well, what's different about that is you can't shoot straight on with a gas mask on. You got to turn the gun slightly, and that changes your trajectories a little bit. Guy handed back to him and said, "We can't get it going." Figured out, you're in war. That little booger, qualified marksman, open sights with a gas mask at 300 yards. Guy walked up, he said, "Where'd you learn to shoot like that?" He said, "Well, it's like leaning around a tree shooting at a deer." He said, "Where'd you learn to shoot like that?" He said, "My daddy."
Amen.
He said, "What's your daddy do?" He said, "Sir, you'd never believe." He said, I asked you, what's your daddy do? He said, my daddy's a Baptist pastor. He said, you're right, I don't believe you. He said, but if I had a pastor like that, he said, I might have gone to church more. Can I tell you something? I'm for guns. They have their place. But they're not going into school shooting people up. That's not natural affection. Pornography is not natural affection. The average billboard, the average advertisement is nothing but pornography. There is more seen on billboards today than in Playboy was 70 years ago. You get more nudity on your phone, and there's more access to it now than there has ever been. Looking at pornographic material on your phone is not natural affection. The virtual world desensitizes the natural affection of a society. Perversion. There was a day when two people that weren't married that lived together, it was called shacking up and it was called sin. God still calls it sin. Still calls it fornication. It's not right. Just because everybody does it doesn't make it right. The alphabet soup crowd. The average college campus in America today is nothing but a barnyard full of animals. As a matter of fact, most of them live worse than the animals do in the barnyard. I could solve 90% or more of the problems on the average college campus in America today if they would just enforce the alcohol law.
Amen.
There's no 18, 19, or 20-year-old that ought to be addicted to alcohol at college when it's not even legal to get it or drink it.
Amen.
Well, that's college life. So, I graduated from college and never took a drink one. Be doing okay? You see, what happens is this. You wear out the natural affection, so you have to go to that which is unnatural to find satisfaction. You let young people sleep around and wear themselves out with each other, then they're going to start investigating things they ought not investigate that are not natural. It won't satisfy any longer. By the way, they invent evil ways then to satisfy it. I'm just going to say it. The more time you spend in the virtual world, the harder and less satisfied you'll be in the real world. Sodomy, adultery, pornography, hours in the daily virtual world are all without natural affection. Number two. That was just a warm-up. The virtual world allows man to have a virtual or unreal view of himself. Now we're going to get to where I'm meddling. People of our society today have a false view of themselves because they only show you on Facebook what they want you to see of them. Do you know the only person in the world that lives up to your resume and thinks that they do is you? I've looked at a lot of resumes and then talked to the person and think, who filled this out for you? You see, you have a false view of yourself because you only show others what you want them to see or what you want to be. In other words, you're acting like Hollywood. You're performing in front of people to show yourself as something that you're not. Now watch this. You do it so often that you then begin to see yourself as you want to be seen. So you live in this virtual world showing everybody what you want them to see of you. And when you're in the real world, you've lived out there in that world so much that you just try to project that in the real world. The virtual world gives you false relationships. I'm not on Facebook, as you know. Our church is not on Facebook, as you know. Say, why, preacher? Well, can I be your friend? Yeah, you can be my friend, but not on Facebook. I'll be your friend. I think the stupidest thing in the world is call somebody on Facebook your friend. Well, I've got 963 friends, preacher. You don't know 963 people. And you really think they're your friend? We have cheapened the word friend way too much. Friends on Facebook aren't your friend. And let me just pull up and park for a second. I got the coon in the tree and the dog's going to for a minute here. Listen to me. You may be able to control who your friends are, but Facebook links you to their friends and opens up a world for your children. Parents, you better know who is exactly on your children's virtual world stuff and social media. And it's real easy for them to come up with different identities and only show you the one that you think they're using. Just spoiled it for some of you, didn't I? Not bad for a guy who doesn't even have a computer, huh? By the way, you're only getting from others in the virtual world what they want you to see of them. Why do you think the police target these perverts going after underage children? Teenagers. You got adult men posing as a teenager to lure some teenager somewhere to be illegitimate and vile and perverse with them. You have children leaving their own homes and the protection of home to go meet with perverts. Well, they're a friend on Facebook. You don't even know who that person is. Well, I saw their picture. Right. I probably ought not say this. Just add it to the list. Say, well, I only do it for my family and stuff. Be careful what pictures you put on there. There are people all over the world going into your Facebook account, putting your children's pictures in pornographic stuff all over the world with your children's faces on it.
Yes.
And yours. Moving on. The virtual world takes time away from the real world. Takes time away from your family. Takes time. I have counseled men and ladies who have been in the virtual world so long that they lose time at their jobs over it. Look how many people at the job site can't go without checking Facebook. Let me ask you a question. How often do you check it at work? Me either, Brother Randall. I don't have it to check, so don't worry. I wonder how many responsibilities around the house don't get done because, well, you just got involved in your game so much. The garage didn't get cleaned out. Yard didn't get mowed. Bills didn't get paid, but I sure made it up in the game world. Right. You live so much in the virtual world that it takes time away from the real world.
Right.
By the way, I will say this, the virtual world can be more exciting than the real world. All the flash, all the moving components, and all the thrill that you might get with it, but can tell you something, sitting down playing a board game with family is pretty good too.
Amen.
Laughing and carrying on. Come by my house or Brother Josh's house on a Saturday night when we're all playing games together. Well, don't do that. It can get a little exciting. Can I tell you something? We love it. You'd be surprised how much better you could read if you put your virtual world down and pick up a book. The virtual world gives you an unreal sense about life. You know why these young people go into the schools with guns and start shooting people? They've been doing it on games for year after year after year, hundreds and thousands of hours, and they are so numb to the adrenaline rush that it's just another time. They'll get up and be able to do it again, but the game will start again. Police and military will tell you the most dangerous people in the world with a gun is a young person who's been trained on video games. They have no adrenaline push and they're as calm as a cucumber. And some of you are ruining your children by letting them do that, and there is no fear and there's no adrenaline push when they're about to do wrong. And I'm going to say this, you have virtually quenched the Holy Spirit of God in their life. For the ability for the Holy Spirit to bother them in that adrenaline situation, you have taken it away because you've let them live in that virtual world and that wrong so much. All the killing, turn it off and start over. Yeah. That's why they go into schools and then they're shocked that their friends don't get back up. The stimulations of the senses that real people cannot give you. No, the real world won't give you the stimulation of your video games and your Facebook and everything else. But I'd rather have my wife than a screen any day. I'd rather have my children than a game any day. Number three. And you'll be glad I'm coming towards an end here. Not sure when, but I'm coming towards it. The virtual world destroys the real mind. Let me say this again. The virtual world destroys the real mind. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians. I'm not just giving my opinion here. I'm going to give you scripture to back everything, and I already have started. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse number 4. And I think I'm in the wrong. Let me see something here. I think it's 1 Corinthians, hang on. And I probably can't even read my own handwriting. Yes. 1 Corinthians 3, 4. I'm sorry. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? The word carnal there means fleshly. Carnality. Well, I'm of this person. I like this game. Well, I'm more like this. And it's fleshly. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse number 4. In whom, now notice this, the God of this world. Look at me, who's the God of this world? Satan, the devil, right? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. Can I tell you something? It's hard having teen youth activities anymore because everybody's playing games. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve. Who was the serpent? That's the devil, Satan. Through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Oh, you Christians, you're just a bunch of simpletons. Yeah, my mind's not perverted like theirs. Turn to Ephesians. Just a few pages over. 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Hang on here. Look at verse number 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I've never seen a generation of young people as angry and wrathful as they are today. Mm-hmm. Any of you that work in the public schools know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Five-year-olds. You're not my parent. You can't tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want. Mm-hmm. When I was going to school, that would have lasted for all of about 2 seconds. After the teacher got done paddling, you went to the principal's office. He paddled you and then called home. And then you got it again when you got home. You had a board meeting. It was a school board meeting. And it was applied to the seat of knowledge multiple times. The children of today that are so angry and wrathful. And I mean, I've watched children that are enraged several years ago. I would never reveal who. A couple of you may have known who it was or been there. But we had a family in our church and the child went crazy. Angry. Bad situation. He threatened to kill his mother right in front of me. I picked that little 5, 6, 7-year-old up. I don't remember how old he was. Trying to calm him down. He went, poof, and spit in my face. I could put up with a lot in life. But it took every fiber of energy I had in my body not to pop his head off and spit down the hole. I put him down. I looked at another adult and said, don't let him move. I went to the washroom to wash my face and I looked in the mirror and said, Holy Spirit, if you don't control me right now, I'm going to jail. Please help me. And I walked back out. I got the child and his mother together and I said, you're leaving with him. If I were you, I would take him straight to the police station and have them take him to jail. I said, I would not close my eyes in that house with that child. You'll wake up with a knife in your throat. I've never told this outright. Less than 2 years later, that child attempted to kill his mother. But the preacher doesn't know anything. Everybody doing all right? Look at Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Just about 6, 8 pages to the right there. Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse number 8. Beware lest any man spoil you. That word spoil means make you stinking and rotting. Through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. Sounds like cultural stuff. After the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which means Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. Folks, I'm not interested in having a culturally accepted church. Do you know what the root word of culture is? Cult. We're so enthralled with everybody's culture that we don't realize what we're sucking down our throats. How do we overcome or defend against this virtual mentality in our society today? Glad you asked. Turn back to the left just a couple pages. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse number 5. Philippians chapter 2 verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you how you get the mind of Christ? Through the Word of God. John chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Each time the word Word is used, it's used in capital letters. Verse number 12. And the Word, capital W, was made flesh. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. How do you get the mind of Christ? You get it through the Word of God.
Amen.
Plain and simple. You don't need man to rewrite it, you need to reread it. We don't need another version, we need to read the one God wrote. Well, you're old fashioned, thank you. God tells us also, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, same book, just maybe just the next page over, verse number 8. I quoted this verse this morning. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's a good question. How does your virtual world game stack up to Philippians 4:8? How about the nudity or the... sometimes it's not nudity. They just paint clothing on. And that's just as bad as not having clothes on. Marvel Comics isn't real decent. I said it. Well, they got clothes on. Well, it's covered up, but you can still see what it is. Anybody doing all right? I'm having fun. True, honest, just, lovely. Guess that takes all the news away, doesn't it? We are filling our mind with puke with what comes across the television. CNN. You say, well, I only watch Fox. Fox lies just as much as the rest of them, just so you know. Fox is better than in some ways than others, but that's like saying that the septic tank wasn't as bad as another one was. Either way, I'm not getting in it. Well, I get out of that dumpster. It wasn't as bad as that dumpster. Okay. Either way, it's still a dumpster, folks. Y'all doing okay?
Amen.
Let's put it to God's test. Whatsoever things are true. That's definitely not the government. Whatsoever things are honest. That's really not the government people. Up in D.C. Whatsoever things are just. The news convicts people at an accusation. Just because you've been accused doesn't make you guilty. Go back to the gospel sometime, and the people that brought this lady to Jesus one day said, look, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. What did Jesus do? He looked at him and said, let him with no sin cast the first stone. The Bible says that they began to drop their stones till all of them left. He stood there and looked at this lady and says, where are these thine accusers? Notice the word accusers. Hebrew law required if somebody was caught in the act of adultery, not just the woman be put to death, but the man also.
Amen.
Where was he? He never said she was guilty of it. He said, where's your accusers? We say she was guilty. Jesus said she was accused. The accusation does not make you guilty. Boy, that's good stuff. Right thinking, number three, comes by right seeing. Lamentations 3:51. Mine eye affecteth mine heart. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Wonder what we're pumping into our kids' eyes to where what they see and say and they do comes out. When I was a kid, Evel Knievel was big. Those of you in your 50s or older, you remember what I'm talking about? Man, we did things on bicycles that should never be done by human beings. And we didn't have masks. And shoulder pads and arm pads and knee pads and backside pads and everything. I mean, we just had a bike and the ground and a skin and ramps that we made and jump snake rivers and everything else that we made. We broke bones just like he did. Mine eye affecteth mine heart. Then 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. And I'll finish with this. Well, it'd be good if I got in the right book of the Bible, as in 1 Timothy. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Can I tell you who the people are that are crazy? Don't have a sound mind today? those that aren't in Christ. They're the ones freaked out about a virus. Preacher, are you worried? I'm not worried about anything. I had it. I'm not saying it's not a real virus. I think people ought to be careful, but I think people should have been careful before there ever was coronavirus. You know, the thought of washing your hands was there a long time ago.
Yeah.
First thing I do after church, I wash my hands. You know how many hands I shake? I don't put my hands in my eyes or my nose or my mouth before I wash my hands. I try not to put my fingers in my nose and mouth anyway, unless I'm feeding it. Get it stuck up my nose. It is not God that gives you a spirit of fear. If it's not God who gives you a spirit of fear, then who brings a spirit of fear? The devil. Our government is trying to lead with a spirit of fear. That is not God, that is the devil. That's why Ephesians talks about, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Hello? Spiritual wickedness in high places? Yeah, it's called the White House. God gives a sound mind. We're not the ones that are flaked out. They are. Let me finish. The virtual world is a tool of Satan to get the world ready for the Antichrist. We are programming people to get ready for a one-world system. Just because you use tech does not make you part of Antichrist. Computers are not the beast. I hate to disappoint you. And if you're saved, you'll never see that take place because we're out of here at the rapture. Don't worry about it. But living in the virtual world will dull your natural affection. And we wonder why our world is so violent, so vulgar, so nasty, so rude. You know, there was a day when a man held the door for a lady and the lady would say thank you. And now it's, You know how hard it is to keep an 8.5 from flying up in the air after that thing? People are rude, nasty. If you get to the intersection, we gotta half kill each other to get through an intersection. Waiting 5 seconds to let somebody go through isn't going to destroy your life. Just be nice. Doesn't matter how many people honk their horn at you, including Brother Josh. Can I tell you something? How about we realize that this virtual world is destroying natural affection? I didn't say it. God did. And I hate to disappoint you, but Romans chapter 1 has far more to do with the virtual world than it does the sodomite world. But we're finding out that they both lead to each other. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done.